Blog Talk Radio.
Bother by a bitch, got my mind on my paper and my focus on my ends. Got my knife on my haters on my eye, on my friend. That's the way of life goes, be real to the end. I ain't stunting these niggas, ain't bother by a bitch. Got my mind on my money and my focus on my ends. Got my knife on my haters and my eye on my friend. That's the way life goes, stay real to the end. I ain't really for the game, so fuck what they say. I'm all about my money, why the fuck will I change? You niggas is not fact, it's been a late shit.
Yo, I want to welcome y'all to Surge Radio. I want to apologize for the delay. We actually had some technical difficulties with getting the show started today, but that's not an issue. We are online right now, and we are ready to go. Hope everybody had a very Merry Christmas. You know, I know we did, and, you know, kick the show off. I know Spade's going to be a little bit late as well, but, you know, got some hot topics for you. Sorry that we missed last week's show. You know, very, very busy weekend for us, but we're trying to stay active going into the new year and even try to stay active the new year. So, once again, I want to wish everybody a Merry Christmas. I hope you got the gifts that you want. I hope you drank a lot of alcohol and slept good. Me, I didn't sleep good because I was enjoying my PlayStation 4 and being a complete nerd and playing Destiny for almost 24 hours. So, with that being said, let's go into the very first topic for today. The very first topic for today is no surprise. We're going to kick it off with some hip-hop stuff. 50 Cent has just filed a $2 million lawsuit against Rick Ross. Now, everybody know there's been a lot of stuff going on between 50 Cent and Rick Ross for the last past, I don't know, maybe 3 years. And it's been a lot of on and off beef, lawsuits, fights, crazy stuff between 50 Cent and Rick Ross's camp. So 50 Cent and his camp filed a $2 million lawsuit because Rick Ross used his In the Club song with samples, including his vocals, on a two-disc mixtape called the Renzo mixtape. Now, I'm not sure if that was a plan or if that was actually, you know, one of those things where he just felt the need to just use 50 Cent stuff. To me, I think it was more or less, you know, just to annoy 50 Cent even more. You know, with him dealing with all these lawsuits and issues and stuff, that's pretty much like the icing on the cake. But I'll dip into that more. Looks like, you know, my co-host just joined us. I want to welcome Spades to Surge Radio. What's going on, Spades?
What's going on, L? Happy holidays, people. What it do?
Happy holidays, man. Hope you enjoyed your Christmas. We also got one of our very, very special guests rejoining us for this episode, Darius McKinney from Darius Sight Entertainment. Welcome
hey.
To Surge Radio.
Hey, how you doing? Merry Christmas and happy holidays.
Happy holidays, bro. Welcome back.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Appreciate it. Good to see you. Hear from you, Spade.
Oh, Al, yeah. You know it.
Lyricist.
Going on. All right. So I just kicked off the show talking about this lawsuit with 50 Cent that 50 Cent just filed against Rick Ross. a $2 million lawsuit. These guys have been rivals for over a few years now, and it just seems like, you know, they just find different ways to antagonize each other. So, I don't know. I mean,
so,
how do you feel
so
about
that? Rick Ross was Rick Ross using samples of him on his mixtape or something?
He actually used the instrumental to In the Club, and he also used the instrumental with 50 Cent doing the hook as well. So, I
but
think
isn't
he just
that
really
free, isn't that free game out on mixtape though?
It's not.
No,
it's not. No, because even though he's not profiting from it, that it's easier to use an instrumental and not get in trouble. But when you use the instrumental and a person's vocals, and you're a, I mean, you're a professional recording artist at that point, because you know that he used that to promote his upcoming album. So the act of promotion, you know, it's just one of those things where it is, you know, I could say he guaranteed him $2 million, if not more, due to damages.
So on the mixtape, I know a lot of artists or up and coming artists, when they do their mixtape, they'll use kind of the industry, some of the industry hip hop guys or even musicians and stuff, their instrumental versions of their songs, and they'll kind of do their actual, you know, lyrics on top of it. And once they labeled it a mixtape, and pretty much it's for free reign, right? It's just pretty much promotion for the artist awareness, right?
Yes. You know, but, so, you know, sometimes...
So because of Rick Ross is a well-known person, and he's not getting funded for the mixtape, 50 Cent has the right to sue him because he used his likeness or something like that? Because he's known.
Because he's known, and he used it as a tool to promote his upcoming album.
Yeah, but now, isn't mixtapes a tool to promote people's EPs or albums?
Yes, but that's where it's a gray area where artists. A lot of artists, even independent artists, don't get sued for using other artists. You know, like beats and stuff like that, because it's just for the simple reason because it's promotional. Now, if you're a well-known artist, you want to go through the stages of communicating with the artist, like, hey, I want to use your track for this, you know, this mixtape. It's only promotional. I'm not trying to make money off of it. But due to the fact that 50 Cent and Rick Ross has had beef for this long, 50 Cent could be petty and be like, hey, I'm going to sue you just because you decided to use my music without my permission. That's why it's a gray area. That's why, you know, they recommend a lot of
I think Rick Ross could not beat that, though.
Well,
as long as he can show that he's not making any profit over it, I think he can win that case.
Well, it's the timing doesn't really go in his favor because he released that mixtape before he released his album. So
yeah, but I don't think that plays a factor. If the actual product that he's actually displaying, the actual copyright infringement, if you want to say like that, if he's not showing any profit gain off of it, promotional is a different thing. But if it's not, if the actual item is not just showing any profit gain, then I think he'll be all right. He'll be good. Especially if it's
I don't think so. This is why I say that. For the simple fact of, if I have a product and you ask me, or you didn't ask me to use it, which in this case Rick Ross didn't, even if you're not getting money from it, you're still using my name. So that means you're going to profit from it. So if you're using my name and I'm not getting no cut from it and you didn't tell me anything, I'm suing you and getting my bread. I think 50 will win.
Yeah, because it's the thing is that he used that to create awareness for his upcoming album. That's why I said the timing doesn't favor him. Now, I can take you back to an incident where this happened before, and, you know, the artist had a choice. A lot of people don't know this. This is what happened to Jay-Z. Jay-Z got into a beef with Jim Jones. You know, around that time, Jim Jones had that song Ballin'. And Jay-Z decided to diss Jim Jones over his own beat, but, you know, by using it as, you know, a response to Jim Jones. So when he did that, Jim Jones took his vocals and put it on a remix and said, hey, Jay-Z's on my remix. Jay-Z wanted to respond legally, but he couldn't because he hopped on Jim Jones's beat, dissed him on it, and Jim Jones said, hey, thanks for the remix. If you want to try to sue me, go ahead and go for it. But guess what? You're going to lose this lawsuit because you hopped on my beat and on my song, and technically, you know, you didn't have no right to it. So Jay-Z backed up, technically gave him a free remix, and Jim Jones carried off the next year and a half off of that one song, Ballin', and Jay-Z couldn't do nothing. Because it was pretty much at that point, checkmate. You know, he okay. didn't think about the...
Well, I know y'all got to end this segment very soon, but I want to ask both of you guys, the only thing that stops a person from getting sued for all the mixtapes in the, let's say, in the country, you know, that's out is that if the actual artist of the content that you're using don't want to sue you.
Yep, it's all based on status.
I'm talking about you guys. If you guys were to make an album off if you would make a song that would actually be from, let's say, a 50 Cent beat or something like that, and it's such a popular song, it would become such a popular mixtape song, and people play it around the country a lot. Now, once it gets big, that's the decision of 50 Cent to sue you or not?
Well, at that point,
that's
a conversation you want to have with the artist, because recently we had that about a year ago with Bobby Shmurda. That song that he put out and that he was known for, that was Lloyd Banks' beat. Lloyd Banks actually had that on a mixtape, but that was a mixtape that he sold. But what Bobby Shmurda did with the song, it ended up being hotter than what Lloyd Banks did. But Lloyd Banks gave him a pass and like, hey, that's cool. You know, it's hot. He made the beat hotter. I'm fine with it. You know, it's really up to the artist to have that conversation with the artist, you know, because, you know, it's like an unspoken law. You know, you want to kind of like, you know, conversation.
I said correctly. You're probably actually accurate on like 50 Cent's response on it. I'm just saying, I know that there are actual like statutes that are actually documented of what, even on copyright infringement on music, what part of the music you use, what timing of it, like if you use the first 16 minutes or a certain hook or a certain riff or something like that. I know there's actually documented in the law requirements of what's, you know, the power of copyright infringement. And if you're using a lot of it, whereas there's a vast amount of it, where I said correctly, because I mean, you guys may know more than I would on that. All right.
Well, you know, let's transition to the next topic. You know, I love talking about hip hop and, you know, the beefs and things that occurred, but, you know, this one, it's kind of like beating a dead horse with a stick. So, you know, sooner or later, you know, either 50 Cent gets $2 million or not, you know, at the end of the day, that sounds like rich nigga problems.
you know,
so, so I want to get into the topic, you know, that everybody's been talking about, very, very popular topic, you know, two movies, actually. I want to kick it off talking about the Star Wars Force Awakening movies. It's definitely on pace to hit $1 billion. It's breaking a lot of records, a lot of noise. I personally seen the movie. I thought it was a great movie, you know, but, you know, this is where I open up the floor. Spades, I'll let you take a shot at it first.
Yo, so, you know, you taught me to go off facts. So I just looked up how much, you know, Star Wars made when it first opened. The first week, these niggas made $391 million. The second week, in total, worldwide, is $113 million. So, yeah, they're going to hit $1 billion, I think. I haven't seen the movie yet, but I've heard great reviews. I think I need to go see the damn movie. That's what I think.
Yeah, you definitely got to take time out to see it. Yeah, it was really – it's pretty good. it's the funny part about it is that I always, when I'm going to see a new Star Wars or something, like where George Lucas pretty much stamped it as Episode 4, 5, and 6. That's Star Wars, Empire Strikes Back, and Return of the Jedi. Those movies were, you know, made in the 70s to 80 to 83, you know what I mean? So you're kind of looking at it, and then when they made the prequels, and then he went to go retouch the actual old ones to kind of make them kind of be a good continuity to the style of it and the cleanness of it. And so now you kind of look at this as going to the next chapter, the next generation, the new stuff, you know. And then you see that movie and you see how, like, you know, the, like, it's really, I like it on the end that it's actually how we live in society where, you know, if you were to look at your parents or your grandparents, and then they were to kind of see how, because our grandparents probably react to how we look at our iPhones and our smartphones and our tablets and stuff like that, and we're consuming so much power and information in like a little screen, a computer that's the same size as your hand. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And you see that in this new one, you see that actual, you could tell the difference of like of the time that and the advancement of the people living in that kind of time zone and those and that kind of ecosystem of, you know, traveling to different planets and you know, the space war going on in there, you know. So that was what was really cool to me, was just you look at the prequels and you see that, like, that a lot of people don't like those, but those tells you that makes all the old ones make sense, because now you're seeing the Jedi's gene and the explanation of the genes of the economic structure or the political structure to the original Star Wars, Empire Strikes Back, and Return of the Jedi. So I always tell people, you have to respect those prequels, because those prequels tell you the foundation of Star Wars. You know, so I enjoyed it. Yep. I think you definitely got to see the Episode 7. You definitely got to go do it.
Definitely, you have to watch all the movies before you go see that. It's not many trilogies or many series that you can say that everything connects. And that's one thing about, you know, Star Wars, everything connects. You have to see it all, you know. But speaking on technology, you know, and then it's going to help me kind of transition to my other topic here. You know, the technology that we have nowadays kind of limits our abilities to make excuses. And that goes to the next topic of Steve Harvey and what happened with the whole teleprompter card and Miss Universe screw up. See, I think it's funny because at the end of the day, he kind of played off of it and was like, hey, you know, it is what it is, because, you know, there was a lot of people pissed at Steve Harvey about, you know, messing up who Miss Universe was. I mean, and it's understandable. You don't make those type of mistakes, especially in 2015 with the type of technology we got. The teleprompter said who won, and the card in your hand said who won. So, yeah, if you had a brain fart because you're like almost 60, that's understandable. Just say, hey, I screwed up. And, you know, he owned up to it. I give him that. But, you know, he also tried to blame the teleprompter, too.
His problem was his success. His success was that he didn't have to go to that rehearsal. So in the rehearsal, it shows you exactly how it's going to look on the car, where the name placements are, and everything. He decided to kind of like come pretty much show up a few hours late where he missed that part of the rehearsal. You get what I'm saying? His success is that, oh, I do TV shows. I do this, like game shows and stuff. So I can kind of pick that up from there. But no. You have to really know the placement. You have to know the timing and be able to overlook that. But for him, you know, he's juggling a lot of things and stuff. You know, he's highly successful. He's highly very utilized, especially by Viacom taking him in. and giving them pretty much everything. TV shows, the Family Feud, everything that anybody want in life, he got it now. You know what I mean? You know, and yeah, then so he decided to kind of like be very arrogant about the Miss Universe thing because he thought it was like, come on, there's no way that they're talking about anything worthiness in rehearsal. But yeah, the number one thing you needed to know in rehearsal, you actually didn't show up for that part of it.
Yeah, and it showed, you know, and that's just one of those things, like, you know, where it is, if you can't let your success take over your mindset, you know, where it is you're so comfortable in what you can do because you got to actually always be prepared for worst case scenario. He wasn't prepared for worst case scenario, so he came with a lot of excuses, you know, but what does it matter? Cause at the end of the day, you know, he got a multiple contracted, you know, deal done to do it for the next, you know, few Miss Universes. So what does it matter?
Right.
You know, so at the end of the day, that where it is, everybody is trying to drag him through the mud on the social networks, which I hate social networks, but they're trying to drag him through the mud on the social networks. And, you know, he's been called everything but his name. But at the end of the day, they should be very, very quiet now because you're going to have to see him for the next three Miss Universe pageants or, you know.
The next three.
So he's making a lot of money.
I think he's smart enough to kind of learn the valuable lesson of kind of make sure that you stamp your name of a stamp your name of integrity on everything you do, even if it's just – if it's a repetitious thing that you perceive that it is. Make sure that you always do it the best possible way you can. So show up to all the rehearsals. Make sure that you put things with a fine-tooth comb, plus add your own style to it. You know, and so
exactly.
I think I'm pretty sure he's smart enough to learn to like say, okay, yeah, I'm definitely not doing that no more.
Yeah, because, you know, because it's like everybody's like, oh, my God, this is such a PR nightmare. No, his PR team is great. Because when they had him post that stuff on Instagram saying Happy Christmas, Happy Easter, that was just for him to play up to what everybody was saying, like, you know, like the actual screw up stuff. That was the PR work, you know, like to play off of it, and then everybody forgets about it because that's one thing about this age that we live in right now. It's the age of ADD. So if you do something that offsets something that just happened a day ago, it's easy for people to forget about it and keep going, you know. So, you know, that's why, you know, he has an excellent PR for her because that was the best way to play it off. You know, you make fun of yourself and be done with it and, you know, move on to the next thing. So it seemed like a lot of our conversation today is about, you know, entertainment from hip-hop all the way down to, you know, movies. But there is one more topic I want to touch on, you know, while we got about 5 minutes left in the show. I want to talk about the, you know, Will Smith's new movie, Concussion. You know, this is making a lot of waves right now. And, you know, I'm a person that loves football, you know, fantasy football, all that stuff. But when it comes down to the grand scheme of things, you know, this movie is going to put a lot of damper on people's feelings about the sport because a lot of that stuff was covered up, you know, where it is years where it is we didn't know what concussions was and how serious it was. We just thought you bumped your head, you know, you get up and keep going. But, you know, there's a lot of things that's connected to that. And, you know, this movie is going to shed light on how the sport itself, football, impacts people and these individuals that play football's lives. So how do you guys feel about that movie? We'll start with you first, Darius.
Smash, you could probably relate to this. I don't know. But what I'm about to say is very factual, okay? Concussions are it goes together with football as wearing a helmet, okay? For the industry to act like no one knew about concussions, for the players to act like they got raped or something, you get what I'm saying? And they got violated. That's crazy to me because concussions were very, very, it was very known in high school football. Very known. Doctors, you could go do the medical records on concussions with kids and doctors, and we're talking about in the 70s and the 60s. Every time when they started to make it an actual household thing where families were putting their kids through middle school and high school concussions, they knew about concussions. To say that, oh, I'm gonna ram my helmet into your shoulder area or your spine area, or we're gonna collide with our helmets together, and oh, nothing was going on for 40-50 years. We just for the 80s and 90s, we start to understand that, oh my God, oh, we're starting to get guys that's kind of handicapped when in a older age. Bullshit, dude. Concussions comes with football. Now, NFL make a lot of money that they can put about $400 million in an escrow account and then accumulate money to pay for the medical promises of the future of the football players. That's all cool. But at the same time, they have to really, all the players should be ashamed of themselves, acting like, oh, wow, we didn't know that we were going to be retards when we get actually old. That's crazy.
Yeah.
But I'll let you guys
handle
the rest.
All right, Space, what's your thoughts, man?
Man, I've had 4 concussions. So being a player that has an athlete that has concussions, is 2 ways I look at it. It's, you know, it's the sports and the love of the sport, because no player wants to stop playing when he gets injured. But at the same time, it's a point in time where you have to be like, you know, my health comes first. And, you know, like D was talking about, from the 80s and back, you know, the technology really went there, but they knew what was going on. So if I'm going to pay you extra money, you know, to be quiet about this and, you know, semi get you help on the side, then you'll be all right then, and you still get to play football. Which it happens. It happens in all sports. You know, let me give you this shot and you'll be all right, get back out there. It happens, unfortunately. But
yeah, but you don't think that they kind of knew when a kid was falling out, and then like, oh, then they took him to the doctor, and then they say, oh, well, the pounding on your head, you had a concussion. Okay, I'm pretty sure they call it a concussion.
Oh,
they're looking at it now, actual, like, x-rays of it, and visually makes everyone goes hyperactive, and it makes everyone say, wow, I didn't know it was doing that kind of damage. But you knew that it was doing some kind of damage because you fell out.
Well, they was looking at x-rays back then, too. Like, it's a hospital, so, you know, obviously they had that technology for that. But at the same time, it's a thing of politics and power. If one man is trying to stop this, which the movie shows it itself, like he went through hell trying to prove and protect the players, even if they didn't want to say anything. So you can't blame the players, because not all of them, because some of them probably was just like, you know, fuck it, I need this cash, or I'm gonna be quiet, I'll be able to play another 2 or 3 years. But at the same time, you know, it's livelihoods too. You fuck with people's families when you get to doing that. And a lot of people didn't appreciate
that.
What
do you think that they,
but I'm
what
glad
you think
he
that
did
they
it.
Were being quiet about?
About having concussions. There's a lot of injuries players be quiet about. If you're a main star or something like that, or if it could be detrimental to the unit itself, as in the NFL or the NBA. If any injury is that detrimental and nobody says anything, like if that Chris Bosh thing, if that shit would have got out of hand, then it would have been detrimental to the fucking league, because they would have been like, y'all knew about this shit and y'all continued to let him play. That's the same thing with the concussions. It was just at a time when he was trying to say something, everybody was against him, but he kept fighting for the teams, and now it's out there because of technology now, like you said, and because of word of mouth, and because he put in the work to get this shit known, because concussions is not, this shit ain't nothing to play with. You know what I'm saying? I have 4 of them.
Yeah, absolutely.
But
I'm
from the
sure.
sports... From the sports side of view, it's like, you know, I feel the players where they come from, and I definitely understand where the mad people come from.
So the argument is that the players were getting concussions that they didn't tell their actual doctor, or the doctor knew about the amount of concussions they were getting on the field, and they put them right back on the field when they should have took them out for the full game, right?
I believe that. I believe that in any sport that shit happens. I believe that because you have high quality players that you need in there, and if they have, you know, some may think a minor injury, or if they're taking, you know, money on the side and nobody knows about it. Shit like this happens in a big industry like this, in all types of industries. So it's no way to tell, but I do believe that, you know, people knew about it.
It's a gladiator sport, though, man.
Yeah, so we're at the last minute of the show now. And, you know, just kind of, you know, chime in for the last time here. You know, the one thing about the whole concussion thing, you know, now see, just me bringing it in as a topic, I didn't really give my stance on it. I think the issue with the NFL is that they underestimated the long-term effects. They judged it by the short-term effects. Like, okay, it's serious enough to take a person out for a game or two. You know, I think they completely underestimated the long-term effects when it is, you know, it was giving people psychological issues. It took the death of Junior Seau to really get them to start taking action, you know, because it wasn't lawsuits and questions and families complaining and stuff like that, because they did pay off the families. But at the end of the day, no one ever pushed how they push now, because, you know, after Junior Seau had died and after the other football players were either committing suicide or just, you know, being admitted into psych wards. And, you know, it's just, it's no different from, you know, when an 18-year-old decides to go to the service and they actually have to go through their first war or have to shoot their very first person. There's their psychological effects because they're gladiators too. So the thing is that they find a way to treat them, even though, and we acknowledge what happened to the people that go to war, but we don't acknowledge to the people that go to war for a sport. So that's what the biggest issue was, is that it wasn't being acknowledged and they wasn't trying to investigate the long-term effect. Because when most of those football players are done, they retire, they're cut off. Whatever money they got put up, whatever insurance they had at that time, that stuff is cut off. They had to pick up and get that stuff on their own. Most of those guys weren't smart enough to put together a plan to live the next 30, 40 years of their lives. So they go broke because they can't figure out why they're in and out of the hospital. Well, you're in and out of the hospital because you had 6-7 concussions and you don't know why you're going crazy. So the thing is that when the knowledge is there and it's not being applied or it's not being used, you know, that's what the people are, you know, trying to shed the light on. That's what concussion is trying to shed the light on, is that the NFL tried to hide a lot of stuff and they didn't want to acknowledge the long-term effects. And now that they're forced to acknowledge it, they're trying to, you know, hurry up just for the sake of propaganda to get something right, to get people's minds off of how serious concussions are. You know, there's a lot of injuries. I mean, we've seen football players become paralyzed from hits. We've seen, you know, football players, you know, what's his name? Joe Theismann. You know, his leg was blown to pieces by a hit, and he could never play again. So concussions is an issue, but the NFL is a physical sport. That's just like when you go into boxing. You know, if you get hit so many times, it's going to have a long-term effect on you. Look at Tommy Hearns. Okay. See how he looks. Look at Ali. And guess who's going to be just like Ali? Roy Jones Jr., because he doesn't know when to stop. They're aware of this.
Yeah, they keep doing it.
So where it is, we can also keep blaming the NFL for not knowing or for knowing what's going on and try to cover it up, but we can also acknowledge that the players and these athletes know what's going on as well. It just comes down to them making the right decision, you know. Sometimes you got to be like Kobe and say, hey, enough is enough. I can't do this anymore. So with that being said, you know, I'm getting ready to close out the show. Any final words from you, Darius?
It was always good to talk to you guys. It was really cool. And everybody's right, going to the New Year's and fighting the battle of sufficient.
I agree. All right, Spades, what about you, man?
Hey, man, y'all, everybody have a great and blessed day. It was always good, as always, talking to you, D. Great show, guys.
All right, so we got another show next week, you know, bringing in the new year, new messages, new noises to make. But y'all know how we do on Surge Radio. You know, welcome to the Surge Radio experience, where shock isn't shock, it's real. I'm glad you guys was on the show today. It's time to get out of here. Everybody go enjoy your holidays. Have a good day.
Yama!
Bothered by a bitch, got my mind on my paper and my focus on my ends. Got my knife on my haters and my eye on my friends. That's the way life goes, be real to the end. I ain't stunting these niggas, ain't bothered by a bitch. Got my mind on my money and my focus on my ends. Got my knife on my haters and my eye on my friends. That's the way life goes, stay real to the end. I ain't really for the game, so fuck what they say. I'm all about my money, why the fuck will I change? You niggas is not factors. Ventilate your hate, 40 beats penetrate your face before you blink. Concentrate on the task at hand, master plans. Count cash before you see it, yeah, cash is in. I'm not convinced that you niggas is even making moves. You talk about getting money, let the money talk to you. Hustle hard is the motto, Luciano is the legal. Make it rain by the Benji, don't bother with the singles. Name a man, that's my equal, no doubt, a gang of a sequel. 100% in the flesh, my heart pumping the G-code. Now,